We stand in the power of Christ this morning. Amen. Amen. Yes, good to see that you will put your clocks forward and that you're here this morning. So good morning and welcome to Gungahlin Salvos as we gather to worship today. It's truly a blessing to see each of you here sharing in this time together, and nice to meet some new people who brought the sunshine from Batemans Bay and some not quite so new people and we've seen before. So welcome. We trust you all feel welcome and part of our community here and find ways to connect more. I'm going to say my name is Duncan, but it's not, it's Delwyn, and I'm part of the community here. As we gather, let's take a moment to introduce who we are as Gungahlin Salvos. At the heart of our church are four pillars, the four G's: gather, grow, give, and go. We gather in various groups at different times and places, fostering connection. In these gatherings, we nurture and grow in our love for God and for one another. Through our giving of time, talent, and treasure, we support and uplift our community. And as we go, we take the Great Commission, the scattered church making a positive impact wherever we tread. Our connect groups that meet each Sunday at 9:15 a.m. include Alpha, Grow Study Group, Youth Grow Study Group, Prayer Gatherings, Kids Church, and the Hospitality Ministry, each providing avenues to connect, learn, and serve. So let's cherish this opportunity to gather, grow, give, and go as we can as we continue our journey of faith together. God bless you.
Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for breaking down the barrier between God and man and permitting us to come into your holy presence in prayer, and for mercy to find help in time of need. Help us to pray and keep on praying in spirit and in truth. Help us to pray purposefully and persistently and in accordance with your will. And may we learn to ask in faith, to seek you with all our heart, and to knock with patient endurance, so that we may live according to your will. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning there, friends. All right, so today, this is going to sound very familiar. It sounds like a certain Bible verse that was on a clip a little earlier. Almost the same translation. I was like, oh, these guys are stealing my thunder. That's right. Takes me a couple of times to hear it. So it's Matthew 7, 24 to 29, building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds on a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. And may God bless this word to our ears and to our hearts.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome here today. My name's Dominic, if you don't know me, and I'm part of the team here. And unfortunately, I just can't be with you today. Our family are away together celebrating some birthdays, both in our family, plus also with some close friends down the coast. But it's a privilege to be able to come and share in this way. I'm grateful for our ministry team that has taken part this morning and will continue to lead you through. And they're just a great bunch of people doing some great work each Sunday. I want to talk to you this morning about building with wisdom on truth. And I wonder, have you ever had the privilege or the opportunity to be able to build your own home or to do some significant renovations? There's quite a lot involved and quite a lot that goes into it, particularly if you're not a builder yourself or haven't had that experience before. When my family was quite young, we set out to achieve the great Australian dream and to build the house with the white picket fence in the country. So we moved to a new town. We did a lot of research and started looking at blocks of land and what opportunities laid there before us. But before long, we realised there was quite a lot in it. So we're very careful in the way that we started talking to people to see how they went about it and to do some research. I'm the sort of person who likes to do research on any purchase I do. I spend way too much time. Just ask my wife, she will tell you. So we sought people's opinions to try and get a bit of an idea and to see what it's all about. Now, some people, if you've talked to anyone who's done it before, some think it's a privilege to be able to have that opportunity to design and build and create. And others you might talk to might just sigh and say, we will never, ever, ever do that at all. But a good place to start was actually talking to people, getting wisdom for others who have been through that journey before. Then once you move a little bit further down the track, you start to look about at designs and the different products you can build it out of. The options become completely limitless in what you can actually do. But things like budgets set in and the realisation that you might not be able to achieve what you set out to achieve. In Matthew, which you would have heard a little bit earlier today, we find the passage of what's often referred to as the wise and the foolish builders. If you've been around the church for some time or Sunday school, it's one of those classic stories of Jesus that we often retell and think, well, geez, I want to be the wise builder, not the foolish builder. And look what he did. He built his house over there and it didn't work. But the passage ultimately demonstrates for us that we need to build our lives with wisdom on truth. Now, to put this passage into context, it's actually a part of a three-part mini-series. So three-part miniseries. It follows on from the Sermon of the Mount, where Jesus teaches moral teachings to his listeners. And this three-part miniseries has three different parts to it. The first talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate, talking about the start of a life in faith and what that looks like. Then we move on to the good fruit and the bad fruit, talking about our growth in our life of faith. And then where we arrive today in Matthew 7:24 is the wise and the foolish builders. A comparison between the two, this constant comparison in these miniseries between what's good and what's not so good. So what do we know about this story? What can we learn from this story? Both the wise and foolish built houses. Both the wise and the foolish built houses. One of the hardest things to do in building is actually get to that point in time when you're ready to build a house. There's countless hours spent looking, investigating, planning and arranging, but actually getting to that point in time. These guys went through that and decided to build houses where they chose to do both of that. They chose the perfect location, what they thought was best. But just like the builders in our own life, we need to think about the foundations that we're going to choose to build our lives on. Where we're going to place our foundations, where we're going to dig down those deep roots. Whether that's through choices that we make or even lack of choices that we take on board just floating through life. We all make choices. The foundation we base our life on can include our beliefs, our morals, things that we've learned from our family, our values. But we need to be wise in the way that we make those decisions. But either way, in this story, Jesus gives the example that both the wise and the foolish built houses. The second thing I want to share is they both come up against the storms of life. Quite often we'll ask the question is, why do bad things happen to good people? We ask that quite often. But in this story, it shows the example where the same thing come against the wise and the foolish. It didn't matter. They both come up against the same storms in their life. Nothing was different in that. They came against that. We all at some stages in our lives have experienced varying degrees of suffering or success. We've experienced failure, grief and loss, joy and sadness, love and hate, sickness, anxiety, and many different situations. And you might find yourself in one of those situations today. But just because they built with different locations in mind, neither were separated from the elements that life presented to them. We're not separated at all from the person sitting beside us of what we both experience. Because both, all of us, each here today, come up against those storms in life. Sometimes we wish that wasn't the case. But to place this particular story that Jesus told in that context at the time was in the original Palestine landscape had many hidden faults. In the dry season, the landscape would often appear secure for building, rock-hard concrete, dry. But there was a separation when the storms would come up. When the storms would hit, the rain, the wind, the floods would gush down all that dry ground. And suddenly what appeared to be a great location, the solid foundation, turned out to be a natural watercourse. So what looked secure was actually deceiving. That is why building with wisdom is so key. We don't know what wisdom both these people went to. We know there's a wise one out of the two builders, but we don't know what wisdom that they drew on to build their house. But finally, really, the main point is the conclusion that only one house was left standing in the very end. The difference between the wise and the foolish in the story is what, no matter what happened, what intellect they had, they come to the reality of life that one was only going to be left. One location was the right location to build and the other was not. Just like in this story, some will hear the words of Jesus and follow them and the other won't. And in eternity, one will be left standing and the other won't. The house on the rock stood up against the storms of life. The one who not only listened to the teaching of Jesus, but chose to follow them as the wise builder, to put those words into practice. It's all right to come here to church, to hear the words, to open up the Bible and say, that's good. But how are we letting that affect and infiltrate our life in the way that we do life altogether? We've got to be wise in where we lay down our foundations in life. Some see the house standing against the storms as trials of life becoming key to the story. But others look at the judgment, which reflects at the very end, the final judgment. Those who have trusted Jesus and have proved their faith by obedience will have nothing to fear in the end. Their house will stand the test of time. If you move further on in the book of Matthew, we come to chapter 25, where Jesus gives us the illustration of the final judgment. The people coming before him and being separated into two groups. One group will be given their inheritance, described as the kingdom prepared since the creation of the world. The remaining will be cursed and sent away into what is described as the eternal fire. Sometimes we gloss over these stories, and in particular these sort of concepts. We want the love and the warm, fuzzy things that we get, but we don't fail to neglect what's actually at stake. The truth declared in the Bible is one will stand and the other won't. Building with wisdom on truth is key. This parable then leaves us with responses to give. And simple things like we can simply hear the words of Jesus and do nothing and categorize them into a nice story. We can respond in our understanding and believe in the words, or we can respond by doing something about it. But not only hearing, but pursuing after the truths found in Scripture, learning and following and doing something about it. These are some of the choices that we can do with what we are unpacking here today. But ultimately, this verse leaves us with the uncomfortable demand to consider is building on truth. When we hear these stories of Jesus, I think that he was very careful in the words that he chose. While we hear the story of two guys, two foundations, two outcomes, I don't think it was by accident that the foundation of the house that sustained the storm was built on rock. If you are to look through the Old Testament, the New Testament, there's references to the significance of rock, and particularly in the Psalms. Psalm 62 says to us, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken. In Deuteronomy, he says, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. Psalm 71 says, be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. They talk about this place to go, this place to hang on to in life, a refuge and a fortress. But if we move into the New Testament, we hear Jesus' words in Matthew 16 when he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." He used Peter and the terminology of rock as a significant foundation for how he'll build his church. Not only did he talk about it, friends, but we're beneficiaries of that statement. As you look throughout church history in particular, we can see that from then on that the church was established. But the crucial part is Jesus himself. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus." Christ was that ultimate foundation of giving his life, raising from the dead, and teaching us how to live. And in Acts 4, it says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, that crucial part. This rock foundation, a metaphor, is not insignificant, but I think rather on purpose. It certainly lays out for us a formula in the way to live our lives. Foundations to put our lives in, like the Word of God, prayer, meeting together, learning from one another, all form solid ways in which we can build our lives with wisdom on truth. So we ask ourselves the question, in what I'm living and following and profess, is that moving me towards God, the solid foundation, the solid rock, or is it taking me in the opposite direction? And is there changes I've got to make along the way? Life is tricky, friends. And navigating faith in Jesus just doesn't come easy. But we have things like the Word, each other, the Spirit at work within us that we can access. But ultimately, we can rely on things like the lyrics of this song. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." When it all boils down, friends, we can place our hope and build it on Christ the solid rock. Can I encourage you to consider words I've spoken today, and particularly from this passage, to build with wisdom on truth? Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be hearers of the Word. That as we look back over the generations, we can see time and time again where you've spoken and that's come into being. And Lord, these words of Jesus, when he talked about building our life on a solid foundation, Father, we just pray today for my friends who are gathered here today and for our church here in Gungahlin, that we can each learn and encourage each other to build our lives on the wisdom of truth, that you will inspire us to read your word and inspire us to put it into practice in our day-to-day life. So we're thankful today for Jesus Christ, for the true example that he was to us, that through him we can be saved and we can run to you as a fortress and protector in any situation and storm that we come up against. So God, today I pray that we will be encouraged and we will be sent out to be carriers of your good news into the community we find ourselves in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm Duncan. I'm part of the community here. I want to thank you for joining us here today. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us and found it meaningful. If you are new and would like more information, please feel free to speak to someone here today, or we've got some flyers down near the information table at the entrance. We would invite you to stand just now, and I'll bring the final blessing. This benediction is based on Romans 15, verses 5 to 6. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." We hope to see you again soon.